Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We are in Parashat Toldot. So, of course, like every parasha, especially in Sefer Bereishis, there's a lot to talk about. We have the stealing of the blessing in our parasha. But when we go deep into the matter, we understand that it's not exactly stealing, but it's taking what belongs us and not somebody else. But before we get to it, if we have the time, we want to go and really look at the beginning of the parasha. The parasha of Toldot. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, I haven't got it here.
Okay.
Very good, thank you. Ele Toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham olid Yitzchak. Those are the descendants of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. So what should be now?
Yaakov
and Esav. No. Avraham olid et Yitzchak. And Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. 1 minute. You just told me that he is the son of Avram. Yitzchak is the son of Avram. And now you tell me again, Avram is the father of Yitzchak? Of course, if he's the son, he's the father. What's going on here? And nevertheless, where are the toldot? Where are the descendants? Ele toldot. So one of the explanations says the toldot are in the, when you go on in the parasha, you learn about the toldot, which are Yaakov and Esav. Okay. But still, it's not clear. Why is the Torah tell us Yitzchak ben Avraham, and Avraham olidet Yitzchak? So there are a few explanations. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, she'akol nia bidvaro.
Amen.
One explanation says, we all know it, when Yitzchak was born, they didn't know whose son he is. Because Sarah, his mother, for many years didn't give birth, didn't have any children, didn't get pregnant. And then suddenly after she is in the palace of Avimelech, she gets pregnant. And Yitzchak comes out. So he says, okay, Yitzchak is a tzaddik. But from Yitzchak, we have Yaakov, which is the tzaddik, and Esav. So what used the clown say? They said, yeah, of course, now we understand. Who is the real father of Yitzchak? Not Sarah. Not Avram, but Avimelech. So we have one tzaddik, and we have one Rasha. The tzaddik is from the side of Sarah, and the Rasha is from the side of Avimelech. And, you know, if you think about it from the outside, that's the way it looks. Because for many years, nothing, she doesn't get pregnant. And suddenly after she stays in the palace of Avimelech, she gets pregnant. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He made it sure that everybody who looked at Yitzchak, who did he see? Avram. Because the image, the face of Yitzchak looked the same as the face of Avram. So the Torah is telling us, Ele toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham. Yitzchak is the son of Avram. And you will say me maybe, no? Avraham olidet Yitzchak. Everybody who looked at Yitzchak saw that Avram olidet Yitzchak. This is one of the most famous explanations. Another explanation. The Gemara says that if somebody is teaching the son of a friend Torah, it's like he gave birth to him. So the Torah is trying to tell us something very interesting. It's telling us that in the case of Yitzchak and Avram, we have both. We have the biological fact that Yitzchak is the son of Avram, and we have also the spiritual fact that Avram taught Yitzchak everything he know, and now Yitzchak is a scholar from the power of Avram. So, Ele toldot Yitzchak ben Avram, ben, the son of Avram, that is a physical knowledge, a biological knowledge. Yitzchak is the son of Avram. Then Avraham olid, he gave birth, the Gemara says, Keilu olido, if somebody teaches the son of his friend Torah, it's like he gave birth, Keilu olido. So the Torah is telling us, Avraham olidet Yitzchak, that Avram not only was the biological father, he also was the spiritual father. But there is something very interesting. There is a famous midrash that says that when Avram was thrown to the fire, God saved him. And the angels asked him, why do you save him? He says, I save him because of his grandson, Yaakov. This is also very strange. Avram needs the merits of Yaakov? What, he's not a tzaddik by himself? That's what the Midrash said. He was saved because of his grandson. But let's see. There's a big lesson here. Years ago, I went to Holland to a place, I don't remember what it was, but it's an area that everybody is making cheeses. The famous Dutch cheese. Yellow cheese, the hard cheese. And I come to this factory, it was the most famous one, because he was for many, many years there, and he did the best... I don't know, I don't remember the name. Could be. And when you go into the factory, you have a tour. So on the walls you have the pictures of the great father who started the business, and then the grandfather, and then the son, and all generations are there. And the interesting thing is that it all started at the time of this great grandfather. But most of the other factories that were there at that time, they vanished, they finished. What was the secret? The secret was that they were doing it for themselves, and they didn't teach the right things, or didn't teach at all the children. Or the children were not interested, whatever, it was finished. But this great-grandfather, he made sure, because he loved his thing so much, that the secret of making this cheese will go to his son and then to the grandson. And then I thought to myself, this is exactly what the Midrash is saying. It's not that it's the Yaakov who saved Avram. Yaakov is the proof that Avram is a tzaddik. Yaakov is the proof that if the third generation is going in the footstep of the grandfather, it means that here we've got something that is going to go on for life. And if you look at the world around this, that's the way it works. You have, for example, in business. Mm-hmm. In business, you have some type of business that is a first generation, then finished. Then you have business that are a first generation, a second generation, but no third generation. But if you look at all businesses that they have a third generation in, what will happen is that this is going to go on. Because if it's so in, the family is going to own this business for many, many years after. Why? Because when it goes to the third stage, it means that this is something that is going to stay. That's why, for example, also halachically, if you do something good three times, it's like you did a vow. You have to do it now, all the time. That's why we say bli neder. Because if you do something good, you do it once, it's okay, nothing happened. Do it twice, it's also okay. But when you do it three times, it's like you avow, like it's a kavua. It's davar kavua. And that's an interesting lesson. This is why Avram was chosen. And this is our job, to make sure that not only the second generation knows what it's all about, but also the third generation. By the way, halachically, our obligation is also to the grandchildren. It's not finished with the children. If the, for example, chas v'sholem, if you have a child that doesn't educate his children, it's your job. You have to make sure that your grandchildren are going in the right way. It's you, also your responsibility. After the third generation, it's not your responsibility anymore. Of course, it's very good if you do it more, but it's not your responsibility. And this is a very interesting opening of the parsha to teach us. Ele toldot. They said, what are the descendants of a tzaddik? His good deeds. So we were both. Because really what Avraham Avinu was doing, he was doing an unbelievable thing. He was passing the message to the next generation in a way that it was built in like a unit by itself. By the way, when we look at Akedat Yitzchak, it's three times written Yachdav. We talked about it. Yachdav is mean together. That Avram and Yitzchak went together with one mind, one opinion, the same way, with the same task, with the same goal. Like in other words, soul and physical and spiritual, they were together. So it begins when Avraham Avinu goes with the, he takes those two youngsters to join him, and Yitzchak, and it's not written Yachdav, together. Only when he starts walking with Yitzchak to the place where he has to do the Akedah, is written Vayelchu Yachdav, they're going together. Then, again it's written after Yitzchak realizes that who is the sacrifice? He is the sacrifice, and still the Torah tells us Vayelchu Yachdav. Then, the third time, it's in the end, when there is no Yitzchak. Avraham Shav, but it's not written that Yitzchak is returned. So there are a lot of explanations, but one of the beautiful explanations is saying, is written Yachdav. So if it's Yachdav, Yachdav was not written in the beginning with the two kids that he's going with. In other words, if Yachdav means, who is he going with? With the Yitzchak. So, but it's not written. He said, because they got to a level of becoming one. And by the way, the same thing is written with Moshe and Aaron. Who Moshe ve Aaron? Who Aaron and Moshe? When we get the report, we talked about it also last year. It's written in like in singular, but we're talking about Moshe Aaron as plural. They're two brothers. But in written one, the beginning of the passage, it's written who Aaron and Moshe, and then it's written who Moshe ve Aaron, to show us that they become one. They were one in the same mission, the same thing they were doing. So here also, Avraham and Yitzchak got to the level of being one, united. And from this, and only then, could Yitzchak get married and bring Yaakov to the world. Because Yaakov is from where we come from. Yaakov is the combination of Avraham and Yitzchak, which is Chesed and Yirah. And Yaakov is Tiferet, is the combination of Chesed with the fear of God or with whatever. There's a lot of explanation to this. But only when they combine it together, then they could bring Yaakov to the world. So this is about Ele Toldot Avraham, Ele Toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham. Then, we have another interesting episode. So eventually, Baruch Hashem, after praying, Rivka get pregnant with twins. But those twins are making her terrible problems. They're running around the tummy and it hurts her. And so some people say she went to ask because it hurts her. No, she was afraid that the pregnancy wouldn't work because something is happening there. The interesting thing, the Midrash says that there are two reasons that they were running around in the belly. One is that Esav is the Rasha, and Yaakov is the tzaddik. So when she was walking near a shul, or near a place where they learned Torah, Yaakov wanted to go out. When they went near idol worship place, Esav wanted to go out. Yes.
Where was a shul that some...
Bet Midrash of Shem Vaever. Shem Vaever. The Bet Midrash of Shem Vaever. There was a yeshiva, a great yeshiva. Shem Vaever. So she went to ask what to do, and they told her an interesting thing. They tell her, "Shnei goyim bebitnech, u'shnei leumim imaych bedayah." Two nations in your belly, and two nations going to come out. Uleom milom yematz, v'rav yavot tzair, and the one who is going to be the firstborn is going to work for the younger one. Okay, what did this help now? And there is another question. The Rav Zalman Zaharsky asked a very interesting question. If every time she goes out, she's got this balagan, why didn't she stay home? Yeah. Don't go out. Sit at home and everything is okay. But then comes the other explanation of Rashi. Rashi says, the Odavar, says they were fighting inside. Who is getting Olam Hazeh? Who is getting Olam Abad? In other words, they were fighting all the time. So says the Rav Zalman Zaharsky, so what was happening when she was at home, both of them were running around, fighting with each other. It was more terrible. Then when she went out, at least, only one of them was running. So it was a little easier. But another question is, what did this, what they told her, what did this help her?
No.
I tell you what, it helped her. They told it in her ear, and the babies heard it. So now, nobody wanted to be the first one to go out. So they stayed in. Because the first one is going to work for the second one. So nobody wanted to go out. So they stayed there. But it says, somebody came to the Rav Shach Zatzal and asked him a very interesting question. He says, they've got a kid that has to go to school, and they have two schools. One is a very high level, but not exactly not the best people. Nice people, but not the best. Now they opened a new school, and there are unbelievable families, the best of the best, the creme de la creme, but the level of the teaching is not so high. What to do? He says, I'll tell you what to do. Look in Parashat Shavua. There is a midrash that says that in the pregnancy, there is an angel that teaches the baby the whole Torah. An angel teaches the baby the whole Torah. So now, let's see what's happening here. Rivka is going out. When we go near an idol worshipful place, Esa wants to go out, we understand it. He wants to go out to be to idol worshipful. But how can it be that when they come near a Bes Midrash, Yaakov wants to go out? He's got an angel teaching him Torah. Have you got a better teacher? There is no better teacher. But says the Rama Rav Shach Zatzal, he says, if the company is bad, even if it's an angel teaching you, get out. Don't be in a bad company. And even so, now you've got your answer. You better off send your kid to the school with the better families, with the better people, and the lower level of learning. Bezrat Hashem, in time, they will also upgrade their learning. But it's much better for your kid to be in a place with a better environment from the spiritual reason, from the people around, than to be in a place where they are not so nice. And that's a big lesson for life. You know, even, you have to understand, an angel teaching you Torah, this is the highest level can be. There is nothing higher than this. An angel. But if your friend that sits near you, with you, is Esav, even if it's an angel teaching you, get out. Don't stay there. And that's a big lesson for everybody. Sometimes, you know, we go to a place, but, you know, okay, everything is good, but the people are not. Doesn't matter. Even if everything is unbelievable, if the people are not good, leave the place. And that's another lesson from Yitrotzetzu Abanim Bekirba. We have a few minutes. We'll try to understand why was this whole episode. But the mother Rivka is telling Yaakov, go and put on yourself the clothes and put on your arms the skin of a sheep, so you will be hairy like Esav, and go and what? Trick your father? Lie to your father? Steal the blessing? That's the way it looks. And you know, every time we come to this episode, we have a bad taste. Why to do it this way? Why can it be like a normal way? Yitzchak will realize who is Esav and who is Yaakov, and he bless Yaakov, and that's it, finished. But there is a big lesson here. We think that everything that is a fact is true, and what is not a fact is a lie. Says the Rav Dessler, wrong. Truth is what serves truth. Lie is what serves the other side. In other words, truth is as long as it serves the good side. That's true. That's the real truth. Because we see only what we see with our eyes. We don't know what's behind it. And we all know that people can play games with us. They can look from the outside righteous and tzaddikim, and the inside everything is rotten. And by the way, if anybody thinks that Esav was looked like with piercing and tattoos, you're mistaken. He looked exactly like Yaakov. Because they were raised up the same house, the same home, the same teachers, the same school. Everything was the same. Only at the age of 13, everybody went to in own way. But they look the same. So, in other words, when you look at Esav, you could think that he's a tzaddik like Yaakov. But the real truth is that he wasn't. So, in other words, we have to understand that when we see this story, the first lesson to learn is don't look on things only from the outside. You have to look inside and see what's happening there. Now, let's, in a few minutes, try and understand what every figure here sees. First of all, how is it possible that Yitzchak was, is he stupid? This Yitzchak is a great guy, he's a prophet, he's everything. But he doesn't understand, he doesn't realize that Esav is not exactly a tzaddik. So why does he want to bless him? From the other side, it's written, Va'yoahav, where is it? Vayehav Yitzchak et Esav kitzayit befiv. Verivka ohevet et Yaakov. So it looks like one finds got a favor and the other one's got also a favor. So yeah, Yitzchak is favor Esav and Rivka is favoring Yaakov. This also looks strange. Well, parents don't love their two children. So we have to understand what's going on here. Then, why is Rivka doing all this mess about? She doesn't love Esav. She wants only Yitzchak to be, Yaakov to be blessed. And why? What is Yaakov thinking that he's doing all this? Yaakov the tzaddik, ishtam yoshevo alim. How is it possible that he's doing? By the way, this is also another interesting thing. Who is the symbol of truth in the Torah? Yaakov. That's what the Sedrav Deslem says. But Yaakov is, let's say, if I would have to choose a figure that will symbol the truth, I would choose a million other figures. Definitely not Yaakov, that all his life is a whole balagan with cheating and lying, the way it looks from the outside. But this is also the proof that Emet is not what you see from the outside. It's only what you have got inside. So now, we have got no time, so in a few minutes. Yitzchak thinks that Esav is what he is, but he says, Chanoch lanar al pi darko. He says, every kid's got his own education. Yaakov sits in the yeshiva and learns the whole day. So I will do what Yisachar and Zvulun do. And years later, that's what was happening with Yisachar and Zvulun. He says, I'll give the power of the parnoso and the physical side of life to who? To Esav. That's what he likes. Now he can support his brother that will sit in the yeshiva and learn. But Rivka looked and says, no, you don't know who Esav is. Because if you give Esav more, it's like a drug addict. If you give him money, what is he doing with the money? So not only she is loving Esav, she's loving Esav the same way she loves Yaakov. But she knows if the power is going to be in the hands of Esav, not only is not going to provide for Yaakov, it's also going to ruin him. It's like a gambler, it's like a drug addict. The more you give him, the more he spends, and the more deep he's getting in threat line, what you call. So now we see, in very shortly, the point of view of Rivka and the point of view of Yaakov. And then, the point of view of Esav. Why is he crying for the blessing of his father? Is it so important for him? Because he must think that this is a spiritual blessing from the tzaddik. Why does he need this blessing from a tzaddik? Because Esav was not stupid. Esav knew there is Olam Haba. And he wanted exactly what Bilam HaRasha wanted. Bilam HaRasha said, I want to die like Am Yisrael. I want Olam Haba. Esav also wanted Olam Haba. But he didn't want to do anything about it in this Olam Hazeh. He wanted to hear, to go and have nice time, to rob, to steal, to commit adultery, all the bad things. But he still wants Olam Haba. Who can give him Olam Haba? The blessing of his father. That's why he cried so much. But the truth is that the blessing was a physical blessing. It was not a spiritual blessing for a very simple reason. You cannot bless, you cannot give the power, the spiritual choice. You cannot take the spiritual choice from the human being. He has to choose it by himself. In other words, you can bless as much as you want, but still, the guy has to do something for it. So this is what Esav didn't understand. Now, why Yaakov wanted it? Because Yaakov didn't want it for himself. He wanted a blessing for us. Yes.
have two children, twins, in the womb of a Jewish woman.
Yeah.
Why is there an angel teaching Torah only to one child and not to the other?
He's teaching both of them. Esav knew Torah the same as Yaakov. This is why his head is buried where? In Marat HaMachpelah. Because in his head, he had the knowledge of Yaakov. He was a scholar. He wasn't a stupid guy. That's why he wanted Olam Haba. But in his deeds, it's like you have. So unfortunately, we sometimes do it also. You know? We have this Esav inside of us. Says, "Okay, I know. We know we have to do this, but I desire this, so I do it because I want it. So okay, it will be okay." So this is Esav. Esav knew. That's why his head is buried. It's also a lesson for us. It's not enough that the Torah, that the behavior is in your head. You have to also practice it. It has to be connected to your heart, to your body. That's, by the way, the blessing of Ata Chonen LaAdam Da'at in Shmoneh Esre. Ata Chonen LaAdam Da'at, you give us the power of knowledge and everything. This is the blessing of connecting, the Zohar says, connecting the head with the body. In other words, not only knowledge, practice. Like we always say, you've got this doctor, he says, you're not allowed to smoke. And he shows you a picture of a black lung from smoking. And you die. And then you go out and you all this, I have to stop smoking. And who do you see smoking in the smoking corner? The same doctor that 2 minutes ago told you that not to smoke. So he knows it's no good, but he's still doing it. You know, you have to see, I never forget it, the place where I saw it, like, not in normal letter. It said, Otiyot Kiddush Levana, in Istanbul, in the airport. It was unbelievable. Years ago, they on all the packets of the cigarette was written, there were skulls, and there was written, cigarette kills. And do you think, you see everybody on the counter with the cigarettes that kill. Everybody. This is knowing, but not connecting. Be'ezrat Hashem, we have to learn, this is Sefer Bereishit, we have to learn from the behavior of our ancestors, how to behave, and how to pass the message not only to the second generation, also to the third generation, and understand that not everything that looks from the outside nice is really nice inside. And if it's inside rotten, so the outside doesn't mean anything. We have to connect the inside with the outside. Be'ezrat Hashem.